We're here at podtech.net in Atherton with Heidi Roizen at her beautiful home here, where she's going to be hosting a party next week for Steve Levy from Newsweek, who's got a new book coming out.
Exciting.
And it's a great pad here. Beautiful day. We're in your office. Great stuff. Let's talk about what's happening these days in Silicon Valley and with yourself, and start with what's going on with you and some of the things. You hurt your toe, which is
always
healing.
Well, yes, I hurt my toe, which is why we're sitting here instead of on our usual drag you around the neighborhood walk. But no, life is good. I think it's interesting times in the Valley. There definitely is a sense of life around. My companies are doing well, which is always, it's always great. You know, I came home and told my husband a couple of days ago, I said, you know, I just spent the whole day in a board meeting and it was more fun than, you know, going to a spa for the day. And he goes, well, that must have been a good board meeting. I said, yeah, but it is, you know, it's great when companies, when things come together and you see, you know, the revenue plans hitting and people doing great things and new excitement, fun companies. You know, I have the good fortune of being involved in a lot of consumer facing companies. And so they're kind of more fun, you know, frankly, than enterprise software. Not that you can't make a lot of money in enterprise software, but consumer companies are, you know, your kids know what you do. Your family knows what you do. My brother, he said to me that he was never jealous about what I did for a living until we invested in Ecast and I got one of the Ecast jukeboxes in my house. And he like just comes over and plays music all the time. He said, this is the reason to be a venture capitalist, because you get cool stuff.
You have an amazing room, by the way, with that jukebox is in. Great party room. Maybe we can use it for an event sometime.
Absolutely.
You've used the word nuclear winter in our podcast in the past. It was a tough time, 2001 through 2005, roughly, and whatever the numbers. It's a long period of time.
Yeah.
It's years. But now it's different. Okay, the sun is shining. There's a lot of investments. You've seen this movie before.
Yeah.
You know, it's what VCs call the cycle, right? You know,
yeah.
You lived another cycle, and you know, the market kind of is cyclical, and it's on an upswing, if you will.
Yep.
Talk about that from your perspective.
Well, I think first of all, what you have to recognize is that last cycle, the one that culminated in '99, or was it March 4th, 2004, or whatever it was. That was a cycle unlike any we'd ever had before. And I think that what happened in that cycle is that the capital markets got way ahead of the realities of the businesses. And I don't think this cycle is like that cycle. Yes, I think there are elements of enthusiasm. There are some huge deals that get done. There are some bubble deals. There are deals where the value being paid is not necessarily commensurate with the company's revenues today, although one can argue that with some of those companies, the potential is great, and once in a while you do knock it out of the park. So I am not saying that YouTube or MySpace or those companies weren't worth what they were paid, because I believe actually any bold deal like that where you're buying something that has unproven revenue and profit but has phenomenal growth and has really attracted a huge amount of consumer activity, that there is money to be made in those deals. So, you know, I think we're going to see that. But not all deals can be YouTubes and MySpaces and Skypes, right? You know, there are lots of other deals in
there
place.
There are defining deals that define a generation. Amazon, eBay, Yahoo are called to question on the last
big
trend. And they're
Google
out there.
Yes,
so those are big bet valuations.
Absolutely. So my, you know, my comment on this boom versus that boom is, this boom's reality driven. It's reality driven by the actual usage of these companies and their products. It's reality driven by a lot of the ad-supported models. You know, the reason ad-supported models worked in the first boom is because the sites were charging ridiculous rates and advertisers had been talked into getting on the bandwagon. Then the advertising didn't prove to be that fruitful and everybody went away. The ad rates were ridiculous. If you look at ad-supported models in this market, you know, now fast forward 7, 8, 9 years, what you see is, first of all, the ads are working. We have better methodology, better
metrics,
tracking, better tagging, better targeting. We have advertisers who understand the value of the medium, who are creating advertising that is more appropriate to the medium, who are valuing the the relationship one-on-one with the consumer. We have better networks for the placement of ads. We have an infrastructure in
place. The industry's working.
And, oh, by the way, consumer usage, at least in some age demographics, has shifted from television and print to the web. So the audience is there. So it's working now. So ad-supported models were being sustained by unrealistic rates in the past, but they're now actually competitive to other CPMs in other media.
So the first bubble that everyone talks about really was the perfect storm of irrational thinking. You had capital markets that were frothy. You had an IPO market that was just jamming, booming. You had unknown ad-supported rates.
Right.
So everything,
a perfect storm is a great way to put it, and lots of real dollars were walked away with by real people, and that's what, you know, that's nice if you happen to be in the right place at the right time or hit one of those nerves, and it's great that it happened, I guess, for those people. On the other hand, that's an unsustainable, unhealthy market. I think what's different today is a lot of what's being created is sustainable. We are seeing growth rates. We are seeing companies that get profitable on very little money.
Yeah.
You know, companies that find the right business model and they work right from the get-go. And you know, I celebrate that. I think that's really exciting. I think a big part of it is because we are, you know, for all the sort of negative connotations we have about the moniker Web 2.0, what I like about it is saying, yeah, the web, all those ideas we had that didn't work in 99 because, you know, sketchy connectivity and bandwidth and devices not being quite up to snuff and consumers not really understanding how to use this stuff and security not being there and blah, 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 blah. We've solved almost all those issues. Still have a few to solve, but everything's in place now to do a lot more with the web than we could the last time.
Web 2.0 isn't about these new upstart companies or Ajax or anything. Those are just features. It's really the next generation web on steroids where it's working for people and investors and advertisers.
Yep, absolutely.
That's what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Talk about Silicon Valley in general in terms of, you know, I see it's a boom. We're talking about that now, and it's booming. It's doing well. Talk about some of the things that you're seeing in terms of the companies that are emerging, new players.
You know, there are a couple things, and I never know if, you know, this is a little bit because I am, you know, I'm a mom, I'm a woman. I see different things sometimes than I think some of my male counterparts do. I'm seeing a lot more interesting deals that cater to niches or different sorts of demographics. Maybe it's because, you know, I'm rapidly approaching my 50th birthday, which, sounds so horrible even when I say it. I'm seeing a lot of things that appeal to older demographics. You know, if you think about the 40 to 60 year old person or 45 to 65, however they slice it and dice it, you know, more money to spend, want more meaning out of their lives, want to fight the aging process. There are really interesting dynamics going on today with that demographic, and I think you're going to see a lot in aesthetic medicine, in vacation and free time, in philanthropy, that are going to be some really interesting businesses that appeal to that demographic. At the other end of the spectrum, you know, I live with a 13-year-old and an 11-year-old, and trust me, their use and understanding of technology is way different than mine. And, you know, they're almost a little, one of the VC told me that having kids the age of my kids is like a secret weapon because I know things that you don't know if you don't have kids that age. But, you know, you watch how they use
multiplayer,
technology.
Massive multiplayer gaming.
MMO, you know, my daughter's a level 43 on World of Warcraft. I mean, you know, she knows stuff I don't know. And I'm, you know, struggling. I'm beta testing Gods and Heroes and I'm a 3. And she's like, oh, God, Mom.
Mom, you're so lame.
Pathetic. But, you know, I think that there is so much happening
right
now.
It's a new generation. It really is.
So, and I think there are a lot of new entrepreneurs coming into the market. You know, yes, the attention recently has been on the very young entrepreneurs. And I think that is, you know, hey, it's really great when, you know, you drop out of college and, you know, drop out of Harvard and start a company. I mean, you know, Bill Gates did it, right? So it's a new generation. New generations are dropping out of Harvard.
Let's talk about Bill Gates. Can you talk about the event you went to?
Can I talk about the event I went to?
Bill Gates recently turned 50.
Bill and turned rumor 50. Has Last it that year, Bill turned 50. Yeah, we had some fun.
He's stepping down away from Microsoft, handing the reins over to, you know, Ray Ozzie and the team and Steve Ballmer. And he's doing a lot of philanthropy out there. So he's going to be very active.
He's just, you know, when I think about, you know, and we talked about this on prior podcast. I mean, one of the benefits of turning 50 soon is, and being a native of Silicon Valley, is I've been here for all of this stuff, and I've gotten to have a seat at the table with these guys and gotten to know them back before they were rich and famous, and really gotten to be friends and observe how they work. And I think about the amazing thing with Bill is, you know, he just turned 50. A lot of people in the past, they didn't even hit their stride in their careers until they were in their 50s. He's amassed more wealth than anyone in the world has ever done, but more importantly, his dedication to philanthropy. You look at the Gates Foundation, you look at what, you know, with Warren Buffett's gift, he's got more money to give away. And there was some statistic about, like, he spends more on World Health than the World Health Organization spends each year, and he's got more money to give away than
all of the charity.
He's
changing the world at another level.
He's going to change the world. And when you look at someone with that amount of talent and that amount of drive and that amount of raw processing power, the kind of intelligent people he collects around him, and don't underestimate Melinda. She is an incredible force in this. Patty Stonecipher, an incredible force in this. When you look at what he has mobilized and the dedication he has and the personal time on the street in some pretty, you know, places you wouldn't pick for vacation, and the passion he's putting to this, he's going to change the world. Yeah. And I just really, truly respect Bill for that. And it's really fun to be able to watch.
It's a new chapter in his life.
Watch him do it and how much joy he derives from doing it. You know, this stuff's really important to him. It's not I remember when he first started doing philanthropy and the naysayers would say, oh, you're just doing that because, you know, the
PR,
DOJ
blah,
and, you know,
blah.
It's bad PR, blah, blah, blah. That was so not the case. He comes from an incredibly service-oriented philanthropic family. And this is his passion. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to be exciting to see what he does.
You talked about earlier, just to change topics, that you're a woman and that you're turning 50. You graduated from Stanford.
A long time ago.
At the time where it was rogue to go entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
You did that. And you've been involved in the computer industry. And the computer industry was mostly made up of men.
Yep.
Today
it
the world
is more than it should be.
Well, you know, the blogosphere and the new media culture is, you know, 40-50% women are involved.
And, which is terrific.
And women are growing up in my generation. I just turned 40. So there's a women network growing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Talk about that from your perspective. There's actually rarely highly experienced, very, very smart professional women.
Yeah. It's a double-edged sword. I mean, first of all, what I would tell you is from, quote-unquote, my generation, you know, the Anne Winblads and me and Carol Bartz and Sandy Kurtzig and, you know, from sort of the Gen 1 of the woman entrepreneur, I think one of the things that you can say about any one of us is we never woke up every day and said, I'm a woman entrepreneur. You know, you wake up and you say, I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah,
my customers don't give a crap if I'm a woman. My competitors don't give a crap. My employees don't give a crap. I got to go out and win, and I got to win every day. And also, in a male-dominated industry, 95% of the people I needed to deal with every day were men. Like it or not, that's the case.
Yep.
So early in my career, I was not a big proponent of women's groups and women things and women, because that's not where the people I needed to work with were. So, you know, that's probably politically incorrect to say, but I went where the business was.
Yeah.
I went where the people who were moving the market
were. You're an entrepreneur.
Now, within that, I did get to know some great women. You know, Anne Winblad was my company, TeaMaker, was her first investment at Hummer Winblad. And she and I are great friends, and there are many other VCs in the industry who are women who are great. You know, Sonia Hoel at Menlo and Sharon Weinbar at BA and Janice Roberts at Mayfield. And I mean, there's a bunch of us, and we do get together, and sometimes the stories are funny, and we laugh sometimes about, you know, we can't share those publicly, but we do get together, and over a couple bottles of wine, we'll talk about some of the funny things that have happened to us because we're women.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we didn't get together because we're women. We got together because we're venture capitalists and we like each other and we have remarkably the same approach to this stuff. So, yeah, you know, when I look at investing as a woman, some things appeal to me more because I am a woman. So things that relate to my kids, things that relate to my own, you know, like I said, aesthetic medicine, which I think is a huge category. It's not something I've made investments in. But hell, I know how much I'd be willing to spend for certain parts of me to get improved. So, I think that I speak for a very large demographic in those areas. And I think that it is sometimes dangerous to invest in things that you personally would buy. But on the other hand, You know, there are good reasons to invest in things that for which you would be the target market. You know, you have a good understanding of that, and you have lots of people you can go test with. So I think the whole woman thing is, you know, it's to me, at the end of the day, I never thought about myself as a woman first, but I also never tried to fit into a man's world by being a man. You know, I don't use the men's room. I don't play golf. I don't, you know, do the guy stuff. I don't play basketball. I do your own thing.
We walk together.
You know, do love cooking for people. I love bringing people together.
You host great parties.
Yeah, so you do your own thing. And I think that the more you can be, people will either gravitate to or away from that. And I have lots of, you know, powerful men that I've done business with who don't think I'm, you know, any different being a woman, except maybe they get fed better when they come here. I don't know.
You certainly got a great party room back there.
And, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
For your, the big events you're having here.
You should come to the Steve Levy party.
So what's next for you?
What's next for me? Well, I love doing this.
Besides podcasting. We'll do video too.
We'll just podcast forever. I'll just sit here forever and podcast with my doggies and you here. Well, I have been in the venture capital business for 7.5 years now. And it's been an amazing 7.5 years, some of the best of times and worst of times in VC. I love what I do, love my entrepreneurs. There's just nothing, like I said, I'd rather have a good day at a board meeting than a day at a spa. So I'm either like hopelessly twisted or I just love what I do. But, you know, I have this great opportunity to work with wonderful entrepreneurs and build great companies, and that jazzes me. So, you know, Mobius is not raising a new fund as a team, but I am still, you know, one of the managing directors there. We have a big portfolio of 50-some companies, a lot of money under management.
We're very active.
I'm on the boards of ECAS, Reactrix, Auction Drop, Perpetual, and the National Venture Capital Association. So that kind of gives me some stuff to do. Yeah. They're all busy companies. They're all, you know, doing a lot. And, you know, I'm going to hopefully continue in this field. It's what I like to do. I love working with entrepreneurs. I still have entrepreneurs calling me every day. And in fact, what I'm doing right now is, you know, helping them. I'm not doing any new investing right now because our new investment period has ended for our fund, but I am trying to help channel them to the right VCs. And I just got an entrepreneur who emailed me that he said he's got a full partner meeting on Monday. So he's getting to that point. And
nice.
So it's exciting when I can see them make progress. And I figure it's kind of one of those pay it forward things, you know, it'll come back to, you know, it's just doing good tidings and staying in the market. And hopefully next year I'll either, you know, hook up with another VC firm or I might raise my own fund. I'm seriously considering that. So, you know, we'll see. But at the moment, I'm very busy with the Mobius portfolio. So right now that's most of my time.
Well, certainly we'll do some podcasts together. We'll try to do some regular talks about what's going on in Silicon Valley and around the world and get a lot of great visibility into what's happening, investments and around the world. So.
Yep.
That's great, and looking forward to another chat.
Absolutely, anytime.
Thanks for the podcast.